The organization of U.S. healthcare delivery has increasingly become centered around large corporate entities. Although such corporatization doesn't have a single cause, predictable harms often arise in circumstances in which market discipline is lacking and policies make consolidation especially profitable. I'm Stephen Morrissey, managing editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and I'm talking with Lauren Adler, a fellow and associate director at the Center on Health Policy at the Brookings Institution. Mr. Adler has written a perspective article about opportunities for regulation and policymaking to address harms associated with corporatization. It's the final article in the journal series on the corporatization of U.S. healthcare. Mr. Adler, broadly, what's known about the effects of corporatization on costs and quality of healthcare and on healthcare labor markets?
We've learned a lot over the last 5 to 10 years. There's been a burgeoning research on the effects of corporatization of medicine, and we've seen a large impact of private equity firms coming in and buying up physician practices. More recently, we've seen insurers like UnitedHealthcare, their arm Optum, coming in and buying up physician practices. And obviously, hospitals and health systems have been sort of the core driver of consolidation in the physician market as well. I think we now have a pretty broad evidence base that this sort of corporatization tends to increase prices, increase the prices that consumers and employers end up paying for healthcare. A lot of that seems to be operating through market power. There are some recent studies that try to differentiate acquisitions that increase market power, where they are combining multiple physician practices within the same region, or multiple orthopedic practices, multiple of the same specialty. That is certainly, there seem to be price effects there. We have some evidence on the quality side of the ledger. I'd say that evidence is still a bit more nascent. In the nursing home space, there has been some evidence of potentially adverse consequences for private equity buying up nursing homes. In the hospital space, the evidence is more mixed. And then in the physician space, I don't think we have great evidence of have there really been changes in sort of the quality of care that patients are getting. So there are still, I think, important questions to just nail down.
You say in your article that factors that would typically impose discipline in other markets may have weak effects in healthcare. Why is that the case?
I think part of the issue here is in traditional markets, there are often quality and price signals that patients can often react to cleanly. In If a firm raises prices or cuts quality, consumers can leave. In healthcare, that discipline is much weaker typically. A patient may not know when quality has fallen. It's often hard to judge the quality of hospitals or a nursing home. They may not have a good alternative. There may not be sort of an alternative source of care that they can go to. And patients often do not directly observe the price. So I think that is creating room for corporate strategies that would be harder to sustain in a sort of more normal competitive market.
So, in that regard, in your article, you describe several potential areas of focus for regulators, starting with making corporate relationships and the flow of money in healthcare more visible. What strategies could increase access to information on these corporate relationships and the quality of that information?
I think visibility is often the first step toward sort of knowing what's going on and being able to regulate the potential harm stemming from that. The big issue here is we do not collect great data on a corporate organization, and even what is being collected by the federal government is often not reported out in a way that the public or researchers can access. So some of what can be done is the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services could release some of the data on hospital and physician organization that they already collect on the sort of beneficial owners of physician practices. But fundamentally, I think what is needed is a transparent database that we sort of update regularly on who are the ultimate owners of physician practices and healthcare entities. And that can be tracked by antitrust agencies and by the federal government, and everyone can sort of look into and understand exactly who's owned by whom.
So if we got to that point, what would researchers and regulators actually do with that information? How could improved visibility support oversight and accountability?
I think one big way is that in antitrust policy, for instance, what the regulators really care about is how concentrated a market is in its entirety. And that is difficult to ascertain in a world where you don't know who owns what physician practice. So it may be the case that a hospital or a private equity firm owns six competing dermatology practices in a city, but that is actually not known at the present moment. And so when they are acquiring one more practice to add to their collection, if we had that data, the antitrust agencies would be able to look at that quickly and show evidence that, look, this is likely to increase prices without any consumer benefits or offsetting consumer benefits. And that would help them win much more easily in any sort of antitrust action against that sort of merger. So I think that's really the big piece is just if you are able to keep track of cumulative acquisitions that happen like that, that is a big piece. And then on the researcher side, I think it is just as a researcher who has tried to track private equity ownership and other corporate ownership in healthcare, it is a morass. It is very difficult. There are a bunch of researchers, great researchers out there doing similar work. All of it is imperfect. It is impossible to nail down every ownership event that happens. We just do not have perfect visibility, and that hampers the research questions. If we're not able to track all of the acquisitions that are happening, it limits our ability to understand the effects of those and also sort of to make good comparisons from them.
And then beyond that acquisition and antitrust area, you also discuss addressing policies that make consolidation profitable for reasons that are unrelated to improvements in care. What are some examples of those policy distortions, as you call them?
From the federal and state public policy lens, a lot of what you come down to is why are they consolidating? There are plausible good reasons to see corporate investment to improve IT systems, to improve coordination of care. What I think we tend to be more concerned at in the policymaker world is when there are profits that are being driven from market power or these policy distortions, right? I think some of the ones that come up a lot are, for instance, Medicare pays about 2.5 times more for the exact same service when it's done in a hospital outpatient department than when it's performed in an independent physician office. So that can be an MRI, a CT scan, it could be drug administration, or even just an office visit. So you go to that office visit, see your neurologist for a checkup, and Medicare is paying 2.5 times more if they're working for the hospital than if it's independent. That is obviously distortive and pushes folks to go work for the hospital or for the hospitals to acquire physician practices. I think our policy landscape is full of these sort of incentives that favor a hospital organization in particular, right? We have the 340B drug program as well, which allows hospitals and not physician offices to buy drugs more cheaply and then sort of make a big profit margin on them when they administer them to patients. I think those are some of the policies where you get concerned that the fact that the hospital acquired the physician practice in order to effectively arbitrage Medicare, that is not something that you'd really want policy to be rewarding.
And then finally, given all of that, how much appetite do you think there is for increased regulation of corporate activity in healthcare these days? What kinds of policies might be successful in the current political environment?
I think there's sort of two roads you can go down. I think there's one, which is what I think the article that I wrote tries to get at more, is you can try to tamp down on the sort of undue sources of profits, the sort of profits that can be made from market power and policy distortions. I think you can move to have stronger antitrust policy to do a better job of stopping the hospital from buying five competing practices in town or the private equity firm from doing the same. You can get rid of this, that site of service payment differential that I was just talking about. I think there are those avenues where there certainly is some political appetite. The Trump administration has proposed small changes on that site of service payment differential, for instance, and on 340B drug payment. So there is some appetite to move there. The states have obviously also been pretty active in this space as well, where they are trying to tamp down on similarly on those sort of incentives. And it is difficult. It costs money, it costs resources to do the sort of antitrust regulation needed to stem these flows. So I think you often get then the other road you can go down is to regulate corporate form more directly, where you can, let's say, like Oregon has actually tried to regulate and beef up their corporate practice of medicine statutes, which basically try to stop certain types of corporations from owning physician practices and trying to get at all of these ways to work around the sort of obvious one where you have a third party entity and you install a physician to be the nominal owner of the practice. So some states have tried to crack down more on corporate form. I think that is difficult. It is difficult to crack down on corporate form. And I don't think the evidence is actually crystal clear that it is private equity per se is the problem rather than sort of broader market power and taking advantage of various payment incentives and distortions.
Thank you, Mr. Adler.